We're fast hauling across the ice at Sturgeon Bay in Door County, Wisconsin. With local guide JJ at the wheel of an ATV, we're headed for a cluster of 30 fish shanty shacks. I'm correspondent Tom Wilmer. Come along and join me for a visit with JJ, the owner of JJ's Guide Service, for an exploration of the culture, or maybe I should say the passionate cult, of Sturgeon Bay ice fishing.
We're standing on a big chunk of ice on the Bay of Green Bay, the true frozen tundra up here on Door County, Wisconsin. We're just off of the city of Sturgeon Bay fishing out on Larson's Reef.
You're born and raised?
Yep,
here?
I was born and raised in Door County, Wisconsin, and I'm a fifth generation Door County native. My family has a rich history of fishing the waters of Door County. Both my great grandfathers were commercial fishermen. They actually fish for the same species of fish that I'm fishing for now.
Whitefish is the mainstay here.
Yeah, whitefish is kind of the bread and butter of ice fishermen in the Bay of Green Bay. Mm-hmm. It's a great angling opportunity because we're fishing anywhere from 60 to 80 feet of water.
They're bottom fish?
Yep, they feed on the bottom. Mm-hmm. So we get a lot of play out of the rod. You get to crank them up from some super deep depths. So it offers first-time anglers or veteran anglers who just like to catch fish, kids, mm-hmm. a great time on the rod.
So a lot of the people that come out on holiday, they might catch and release, whereas you're going to take them home, right?
Right. I get kind of every end of the spectrum. People who are coming to fill their freezers or just coming out to have some good times with their friends, catch a couple fish in between.
So it really is. It's like a little village out here. It's a little social structure. It's a part of life,
right?
Living here in the winter, right?
Exactly. You know, there's a lot of heritage of dragging your fish shanty is what we call them, but some of them aren't really shanties. They're pretty nice inside, nice right. heaters. They kind of fix them up however they want.
The most deluxe shanty that you've ever seen?
I've seen them with flat screen TVs, satellite. You can even watch the Packer game out here.
Oh, wow. So they bring generators out?
Generators, lights. There's guys who sometimes they live on the ice all winter.
No. Mm-hmm. They have their bunk out here?
Yep, they'll sleep out here. So there's definitely an ice fishing culture out there that exists.
It's like a whole tribe, a whole.
Mm-hmm. You know, everyone kind of has their own little spot they like to go to put their fish houses on.
Is there a pecking order and hierarchy of who gets to place their shanty where?
Well, it's kind of first come, first serve. But among the guides here on Green Bay, we all kind of have a mutual respect for one another. We all know where we like to fish. So we all get along. Some days we get a little edgy, but we're all in the same game to play.
It would seem to me that the bottom, the topography, would be fairly constant.
Well, you know, the thing about Door County is we have all these big limestone bluffs from when the glaciers came through many thousands of years ago. So the topography of Green Bay here, there's a lot of big reefs. We're fishing on a reef structure that is about 4 miles square. Mm-hmm. So there's all kinds of humps, bumps, edges, and where we're fishing right here, we're fishing an edge that on top is 40 feet, and then you go about 250 yards horizontally, and you're in 80 feet of water.
Oh, wow. So there's dramatic change.
There's a dramatic change, and there's a lot of current that runs on those edges, and that's where the fish are.
So right now, we're in a cluster of the shanties. They're all fairly close to each other. Mm-hmm. But yet, I see, look on the horizon, there kind of looks like Russia.
Right.
It looks like the middle of nowhere. And they're coming across the lake. What's happening over
well,
there?
Well, see, the cool thing about Green Bay is it can sometimes freeze across to the western side of Green Bay, which is near, like, Marinette, Oconto, Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. And there are actually people who will take their snowmobiles across from Door County, across the bay, on the ice, over to the other side. You just got to make sure the bay is froze. A little common sense goes a long way.
How does common sense work? Without physically testing your whole way across, there must be signs and
right.
things that you look for.
Definitely. You know, obviously if you see open water, that's
right.
not safe.
That'll slow you right up.
You know, there's cracks. You know, that's the thing about Green Bay is it's so expansive that it's so manipulated by the wind when the ice is forming. So you get what we call pressure ridges or cracks. Mm-hmm. And these cracks can sometimes push on and offshore, create voids in the ice. So that's one thing to look for when you're out venturing around out on the ice. Mm-hmm. And
are there any sneaker places where you can get tricked and think it looks good? And
well, sometimes, especially if we get snow, sometimes, you know, some of these thinner pockets of ice will get snow covered, and they can sometimes become a little blind spot, so to speak, when you're venturing out.
So when does something go horribly wrong out here? How often is there a 911?
Well, I always tell people you never really have to be worried about falling through the ice because the human body can, believe it or not, be supported on almost 2 inches of ice. it's on Green Bay, like I said earlier, is the expansiveness. So if there's open water and the wind blows the right direction, you can kind of sometimes be marooned on an ice, big floating piece of ice, uh-huh. and be offshore floating away.
So that's when you call Coast Guard?
Right, that's when you call the Coast Guard and go for a little airboat ride.
Yeah, really. How often does something happen wrong? You know, how often?
Usually it happens early or late in the mm-hmm. season. You know, when that ice is setting up, those eager beavers trying to get out there and go catch the fish before everyone else. You can sometimes run into a little trouble.
Right now there's two Polarises driving by and you got one guy towing his house. What's going on here? Is he getting ready to set it up?
That is their fish cleaning shack. So that's where they clean all their fish.
Okay.
And it's kind of their supply shack where they got, you know, their grills. They cook brats out here, so like on my guided trips, I cook lunch. You know, true to Wisconsin fashion, we have bratwurst, pretzel buns, chips, and some homemade cookies. So something hot out on the ice is kind of nice when you're out here fishing all day.
And that's what that stack is on the side of
yep.
the shack. That's a little cooker there?
Yep, that's a little stove. Some fish shanties, like I said earlier, they can kind of be the Taj Mahal, or they can really be a true shanty.
So on a day like today, this is Friday. Mm-hmm. It's a work day, but there are a lot of guys playing hooky, right?
Right. Some guys make it a three-day weekend instead of a two-day weekend to come out and catch those big ones.
So on the weekend, tomorrow, Saturday, what's it going to be like out here? A lot more activity?
Well, it's going to be kind of a zoo because everyone has some time off, and we're finally getting some cold weather, and everyone's kind of eager to get out here and catch some fish.
People in Door County like cold weather then.
Yep. True to Wisconsin fashion, ice fishing is a staple winter activity up here in Door County, Wisconsin. You know, one of the things that we're fishing for up here is a species of fish called whitefish, and they have been residents of the Great Lakes for over thousands and thousands of years.
Fairly prehistoric fish?
Yeah. They're actually, their closest relative is the salmon and trout family. Mm-hmm. So they used to, main population of them reside in Lake Michigan proper itself, but because of the invasion of invasive species over the past couple of decades, they have been driven out of their home in Lake Michigan, and they immigrated, so to speak, into the Bay of Green Bay just because there's another invasive species that they are now feeding on. So in the natural world, when you think about this from an ecological and biological perspective, mm-hmm. for a species to kind of be kicked out of its natural home and then to reestablish itself in a mere 7 to 10 years is pretty unseen.
So what you're saying here, right, in Green Bay, it's been a game changer for you guys.
It has kind of been a modern day gold rush, so to speak, you know.
So 10 years ago, this wouldn't have happened. You would not have.
No, we'd be fishing out of the inner harbors, and you just never had such a high density of whitefish in the Bay of Green Bay. So it has allowed for an influx of economic activity into this area that is traditionally a more seasonal location. So, you know, there's a lot of innkeepers and resort owners that would usually just lock her down and close the doors, but this has allowed them to stay open just because of the influx of people coming to the area to experience this incredible fishery.
Isn't that fascinating? Because it all goes back to where you started out, an environmental shift mm-hmm. where you have invasive species upsetting the balance and it shifts. And then to take it a step further, the beneficial aspects of the whitefish taking out the invasive species that are here.
You know, Mother Nature always has a way of kind of striking back. Mm-hmm. And to say that the whitefish are sending the gobies, there's thousands, millions, there might even be billions of gobies on the bottom. But the whitefish are keeping the gobies kind of in check. Mm-hmm. So it kind of was, Mother Nature's like a chess match, if you can envision it. The whitefish were in checkmate, and now the whitefish, they're coming back, and they're putting the invasive species in check.
Dovetailing back to where I cut you off, the benefit to the economy is
right.
Fascinating.
You know, 10 years ago, you wouldn't see this many shacks out here. You'd maybe see 4 or 5 on the horizon.
Wow. And there's what, 20, 25?
Just in the spot we're sitting here, you're looking around. Within a half-mile swat, there's probably 30 shacks, 40
wow.
shacks. So mm-hmm. that relates to, you know, all these people who are out on the ice, they got to have a place to go get something to eat and a place to put their head at night. So mm-hmm. the economic impact of this whitefish fishery has really kind of, it helped me go to college. I started doing this when I was 18. I'm 25 now, and really humble beginnings, and here I am now standing next to my 9 fish houses, my 2 Polaris Rangers, and as I always say, a little hard work never hurts anyone.
That's so cool. And all thanks to your buddies, the whitefish.
Yep, my bread and butter.
Yeah. So for further information about you and your operation,
just check me out on the web at jjsguideservice.com. That's 2 J's with an S, guideservice.com. Or just Google JJ Mulvitz. You'll find me on Google.
Thanks, JJ. What a pleasure.
Thanks. It was great.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas Award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. Produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, Stitcher.com, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world. Our associate producers include Rebecca Nolan, Newfoundland, Canada, Kim Schneider from Michigan, Elaine Masters in San Diego, Julie Henning, Eugene, Oregon, and Steve Cook, contributing from Little Rock, Arkansas, host of Arkansongs on NPR affiliate KUAR.